Sit back, relax, and let Joe and I be your spirit guides as we welcome you to The Road to Greatness, our Patreon-exclusive show where we deep dive in a game voted on by you, our community. I'm your host, Kyle Stevenson, a.k.a. Mr. K-Step, and as always, I'm joined on this never-ending road trip called life with Joseph Moran, a.k.a. Mr. Badbit. Today's destination is Kana, Bridge of Spirits by Ember Lab. But before we get into Kana, shout out to the patrons for making the show possible and supporting us. We love you very, 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 very much. And Joe, how you doing?
Yeah. I'm doing good. Just to let everybody know, I don't have a Jiminy with me, but I do have this rickety fan that if you're able to hear it in the background, I apologize. But right now it's like 90-ish degrees.
Yeah, man. I don't understand. It's supposed to be fall now.
Yeah. Because we're talking about how do we get rid of Jiminy, right? Which, honestly, he hasn't been that bad. Yeah. On the main shows, great, actually.
Good. He just fucks with my concentration.
Exactly. He's fucking with you more than anything. And so, yeah, with this fan, it's like 98 degrees, and I can't. I need it. We were supposed to have it was supposed to get colder. Here's where my train of thought. I've been working all day, goddammit. It's supposed to get colder and Jiminy's supposed to just die out.
Yeah.
Jiminy had but it's getting warmer and it seems like Jiminy isn't dying, he's thriving.
And he keeps fathering children and it's needs to end.
Yeah.
Very soon.
Yeah. But I before the show, there was a Jiminy and you're like, oh, I think he's stuck to a trap somewhere.
Exactly.
And it got me thinking how we play God, you know, to these insects. Because they're just like, help me, I'm trying to get out of here.
You want to hear something messed up?
Go for it.
And then we'll get into Kana.
Please.
We had a big fly problem. A couple years ago, I smashed a fly on the wall to the entrance of the stairwell, like right at the bottom, like at the header.
Yeah.
And I left that fly in there as a message to other flies. Like, get the fuck out.
This could be you.
Get out of here.
I love it. Also, I should know that one of our codes was given by the Kana devs.
Yes.
Yeah. So we sent some insects to the spirit realm. For Kana.
We 100% did. So Kana is a game by Ember Labs, the first game from them. So before we get really into the game itself, we'll hop in right into a question from Jedi Master Ren. What was the thing that made you go, wow, this is Ember Labs' first game? What was that thing that you're like, man, for a first game, pretty incredible?
I would have to say, the easy answer is just stepping outside. This is right. But I actually think the first boss fight or maybe one of the early boss fight, I was like, whoa, this team kind of gets it. This is impressive. It got me thinking, it was like, yeah, this is their first game, but there has to be some veterans here, you know, from other studios, maybe a Santa Monica or something like that. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
Because the combat felt really good. And my thought was like, wow, we're coming a long way with indies. I remember this in the first area. We're coming such a long way with indies where it's like they're starting to become second AA tier games now. You know, we used to think of them in this weird scope, but now it feels like they're filling in that void of the AA games of the sixth generation. It's cool.
Yeah. In terms of scope and whatnot, I think you're 100% right. It's the first boss fight hit me because the animations and the visuals look gorgeous, but they come from an animation background anyway. So I kind of expect that kind of level of quality, but it was the first, either the first or second boss fight or first big major enemy where it had weak spots and you had to take advantage of that or else the battle is going to be way tougher on you.
Yeah.
So the fact that you actually have to watch out for the boss's tells and their moveset and make sure you know how to dodge them or the block and the parry system, I think is super brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, totally honest, it's not like a very easy parry or block system. You have to really be very good on the timing. I think the little minute details like that is where I'm like, yeah, this is pretty impressive for a first game kind of thing.
And like seeing the room to improve on certain things like the combat, which we'll talk in a bit about, but like even then I'm like, wow, sure, the combat isn't the best and it has room to grow, but like this is the first attempt.
Yeah.
The first attempt. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, so that is like my main thing with this is, since it's their first game, I can only imagine, I'm so excited what the next one is going to be.
Yeah.
After they build on everything and grow out and not have it be a little bit cookie cutter.
Yeah.
With like the old school platformers, and have them grow and to make things maybe a little bit more organic and whatnot. But yeah, the game opens up. You are Kena. The first thing you do is your pulse, which is your block, your shields, mm-hmm. but it also is used to illuminate these blue gems to unlock doors and highlight lamps and uncover rot, which are the cutest freaking thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing, it's weird to talk about the story because there are some moments in the story that I think hit very, very well.
Yeah.
But I don't think I could remember a whole lot of it.
Yeah, so I think the first weakness of this game, you could consider it weakness,
yeah.
of this game is you meet the overarching villain, but you don't really, you see him in the beginning and then you see him at the end. He's not a strong villain whatsoever. In fact, I kind of think of Kena kind of episodically, where you are walking into this village that is dead. And you're uncovering why it died, but at the same exact time, you're helping certain people, you know, go on to their next chapter of life or what's beyond. Yeah. And that's how I kind of view it. So, like, the first area, first off, full spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Just expect it. I hope you beat this game. If you have it, come back, right?
Yeah.
When the water's fine, it's great. But, like, you're – and also, really, there's not much to spoil here. Dog doesn't die. There's no dog in this game. So, spoiler, there's no dog in this game. But, like, when you're helping each individual move on, you're kind of uncovering their story and how they passed or what they're holding on to. And that's kind of what I kind of thought of this game as. It's like it's more of like an episodic adventure in that way, mm-hmm. where each chapter is kind of its own isolated story.
Yeah, I can definitely see it that way. The thing that I kind of wish they did, and in some ways I can see where they're coming from and I'm okay with it. I wish we got more of a backstory to who Kena really is.
Yes. Because
the game starts, we jump in and we're already expecting to know where she comes from and her motivations, why she's here kind of thing. And we don't really get that told to us. It's ambiguous. We know later on there's a thing with her dad. When she gets crossed over into the other side. But other than that, and the staff that she has is her father's.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, we don't really get a whole lot.
Yes.
And it's a bummer because I enjoy Kena. I want to know more about her. But again, I can see Ember Labs doing it that way. So we can put more of ourselves in her as Absolutely. You're playing. And when you're coming across these spirits that you're helping.
Yeah.
They emotionally hit harder, I guess.
Yeah, I think they give you that thing of like, yeah, Kena's the vessel, you're Kena. And they do that pretty damn well. But yeah, I look at this as a way of like, okay, I can't wait for the sequel of this game, if there's a sequel to this game. How they're gonna dive deeper into her backstory. Because yeah, like it's gonna sound super when I was thinking about talking about this game. And thinking about what I thought of Kena as a character and as her model, I was like, this sounds sort of creepy. So please bear with me here. I love Kena's design. She looks incredible to me. She looks super freaking cool. Like, I love her cloak. I love the vest that she's wearing, the crystal necklace. And then, like, she has this really dope long sleeve out one arm, but not the other. Like, there's so much character to her design that I absolutely adore. And like, I kept zooming in to see the littlest of details on the staff or like on the crystal. I follow one of the Insomniac PR people, and he was just putting out these beautiful shots of her. And I'm like, she looks so freaking cool. And I really like, I dig her artistic design so much. I first of all, and I also loved her as a character as well.
Oh yeah. She's great. For sure. Absolutely. I think the characters that I really latched onto, unfortunately, was the first set of Taru. Oh, really? And his younger siblings, Benny and Saya. Those two I really attached to because kids. I work with kids. I have my nieces and nephew upstairs. So that story of him wanting to help the village because of this disease that's going around and is killing the land. Yeah. He goes off with his younger siblings to try to find help and also just to survive. And he gets waken up by something during the night. He's going to go forage for food for them. And he comes back and they're gone missing. Yeah. And he can't find them. And when you realize that these characters are dead.
Yeah.
And they're not explicitly.
They're like six cents dead.
Yeah. We don't get like a gruesome thing of them dying or anything. It's very much, it looks like their soul is hit out of their body. Yeah. Kind of. But that whole thing of at the end, which I think is really cool. And it is the emotional impact of the game, is when you defeat their corrupted selves in combat as bosses. Mm-hmm. Then you have this talk with them and tell them it's okay. It's time for you to
move on.
It's time for you to move on. And that moment at the end when you're talking to Taru and he's just like, I miss them. I hope they're okay. I hope they're proud of me. Something like that. I love them very much. And then they also come up and it's a big group hug.
Yeah.
It's super emotional. And that hit me hard. And that was right out of the gate. I was like, oh man. Oh man.
Oh geez. Why are you hitting me like this, game?
Yeah, exactly.
That one hit because he's just like, I failed.
Yes.
I failed these kids.
Very much so.
And it's like, you could like, and like Kina's like, it was out of your hands. You did the best you can do. And they're proud of you. That one hit. I loved the Woodmaster.
Yes.
Lady.
I'm trying to get the names.
Please, please, please. I loved that story of her because she's trying to find her partner. And I was like, I like while playing it, I was just like, man, I wonder what the toxic Twitter discourse is because this is a same sex couple. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, why'd you put politics into it? Adira. There you go.
It's Adira and
Adira. Yeah. Oh, that boss fight was fun as hell. That was one of my favorite ones.
Absolutely.
Hard is, which we'll talk about in a sec, but like hard as nails. But like, I loved that storyline because it's like, what would you do to try to find that person you love type of thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I loved every time you confront them and for them to go into the other side, it's comforting. It's the one theme that this game is very much inspired artistically and tonally by Majora's Mask. One of my favorite Zelda games of all time.
So to hop in real quick, Awesome Dave writes in, I keep hearing people compare it to the 3D Legend of Zelda games. Is this an accurate statement about the game and its style?
I say so, yeah. This is very much tonally feels like Legend of Zelda. Music-wise, feels like Legend of Zelda. And it wears it on its sleeve proudly, but not enough that it's like anchored by it. So Majora's Mask is about, if you read into it, it is about death. It is about the version of Link that fails in Ocarina of Time. And it's about coming to the acceptance that, you know, spoiler everybody, we're all going to pass one day. And it's all the stages of grief. And it's all about dealing with loss and acceptance of it. And it's okay. And that's what this game does as well. And I think it does a better job than Majora's Mask at some points as well with that reassurance. Because this, you know, the tone's whimsical. It's beautiful to look at. But then you get these moments that are not dark, but like serious. And that is what I think Kena does so darn well, is how it handles its tone and its message really well.
Yeah, and Adira's partner is Hannah. Yeah, that was pretty, that was a very good one as well. I think, yeah, her boss fight, which we will talk about when we get to the combat section, is pretty damn cool. That one I did have to use the game help with because I was getting my ass kicked.
Oh, really? I keep on forgetting that exists.
It was pretty helpful for this one and the final boss, which, oh boy, I got thoughts.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And then the third one is going after Toshi, who mm-hmm. is the main villain.
Yeah.
And you're going around and going through the spirit world to unlock his memories. And that area was cool because of his sub bosses.
Yes.
Where they each had different fighting styles. Like one was an archer, which was my least favorite because that boss fight was annoying.
Oh, really? Killed her on the second try, home wreck.
I mean, yeah, same. But like, mm-hmm. I heard her buzzing around. And it was just like, yeah. Oh my God, stop it. And then like one was like a samurai.
Yeah.
And then another one was very much a, oh my God,
Ronin-esque, like Ronin. He had a lance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That was really, really cool. But again, it was this evil villain that I didn't feel like we were building up towards. It just felt like I was helping the land and I wasn't going against his wishes like at all.
Yeah. And I think it would have done or served the game a little bit better if he was actively in your way causing this distress rather than causing the distress by his actions. And then you kind of cleaning up his mess and then reaching him. If he was like actively in your way trying to stop you and actively
if he would like pop in and then corrupt Adira.
Yeah.
Or corrupt these people right before we fight them and have like a little like conversation in between before that point, I think that would have been a little bit more of like a connection between us and him being the main bad guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then his boss fight wasn't too bad, especially with if you are upgrading your abilities. It wasn't that bad.
It was. I think his boss fight's actually the easiest.
Agreed.
I beat it in one try, but it's also the boss fight that I loved the most. Out of all of them, not because it was easier, but it was just like, I like when a game's like, hey, all the main things that you've learned along the way, we're going to test you on it right now. Pop quiz, mofo, let's go.
Yeah. And yeah, on that case, we'll finish the story part. And then at the end, you cleanse, you send all their spirits off. You then meditate and then the game ends.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, so the one thing you missed here, sir, is the reason why the Lance corrupted is because pretty much Kena's story is about the circle of life and the land giveth and the land taketh away. And that there is this pretty much this God that they rock God that has given this life, but now is causing all this distress. And the elder that you're following throughout the game is telling you, this is like his story is like, this is how it happens. Now we need to find a new home because, you know, we've taken so much from the land. Now the land's kind of taken it back. We need to leave. And, you know, Toshi's like, no, this is our home. I love it here. I'm staying here. F you, grandpa, kills his grandpa with his magical staff. And then kills the rock god, and because of that the energy blasts through the village and kills everybody. That's the cause of all these people's death, is that the land goes crazy because there's no circle of life anymore. And with that rock god explosion, that's all the little rots that you meet. And the cutest thing I've ever seen, first of all their animations are cute. Oh, the rots are adorable. I love them so much. Mm-hmm. Is when you see them turning evil, when Toshi takes control of them and their eyes and mouths turn red. I was like, oh, I love them. Yeah. Even as little gremlins. This is great.
Yeah, you're right. That is a very important part at the end. But I mean, after that, though, it is, you meditate, then it's credits roll.
Yeah.
I felt like it was very abrupt.
Oh, yeah.
Not the most pleasing ending, at least for me. But again, I can't explain how I would do better.
Yeah. I thought I was enough satisfied and smiling.
Yeah. let's get into combat and basically what we're doing in this game, because a lot of it is running through this gorgeous world. Oh, I mean, flat out, I'll just say right now, one of the prettiest games on PS5.
Yeah.
Hands down, one of the best soundtracks, hands down. So that is absolutely fantastic. I'm going to start off with something I did not enjoy.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a lot I did.
Okay.
Hated swimming, Joe.
Really?
It was so slow, and you couldn't do the thing like where you press in the stick and you can sprint. You can't press it in and swim a little faster. Not that you needed to swim a whole lot, but sometimes you miss that jump and you fall in the water and you're like, ah. Okay. No. But that's like a little nitpick. You don't do it a whole lot. Okay. Other than that, though, the combat, I think, for what it is, it's pretty great.
It's actually, okay, so I take umbrage with people calling this a PS2 game. I really do. Because I think that I take it as a negative connotation to this game. I think it takes inspiration from the classic PS2 games, but very much is a modern game. There are some things that I wish, like my biggest nitpick is there's no wave point on the map. So you're kind of guessing where you're going.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're kind of guessing where you're going. And not to say that the map's so big that you're lost, but there are some certain areas that are very tunnely.
As I'm cleaning up collectibles afterwards, yes, I would love waypoints.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wish I could just teleport everywhere and not have to be at certain areas. But like it is a platformer. So what are we expecting here? Like I could be totally I could just say that Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart's a PS2 game because it takes, I mean, its DNA is a PS2 game, you know? Like I think it's way like look, Psychonauts 2. Yeah, what is that PS2 game because it came out? No, like I really don't like it because I feel like it diminishes what an achievement I think this game is in so many ways.
Yeah, I think the way I view it is it makes me nostalgic for that era.
Yeah.
Where it makes me, it feels like it did when I was playing a Jak and Daxter or a Ratchet back in the day. So that's where I can see the comparison, but you are 100% correct. It is way more than just a PS2 game that looks pretty and sounds great.
Yeah.
It's way more than
that. It's way more than that. So to me, it takes that classic, if you thought Jak and Daxter or even a bit of Ratchet and Clank platforming here, that's what this game is. As well, with I think the tone and the combat of a Legend of Zelda game in a temple. So, when I'm thinking of this combat and how you could picture it in your head, I know this is a PlayStation show, but I was raised on the N64, and you guys have to be okay with that. Is Ocarina of Time that type of combat where it's, or even, and I hate the comparison, but these two share its lineage with Legend of Zelda of Dark Souls combat where it's sticky targeting. And that's found its way in pretty much any third person, role-playing action game. So that's what the combat feels like. It feels more Legend of Zelda-esque classic Legends or 3D Legend of Zelda.
That is good to know because I did enjoy it. And again, I've never played a Zelda game to completion. So the fact that this is close to that makes me excited for one day to go back and play them just to play them and experience them.
You can even say Breath of the Wild as well, because again it's that heat sinking target the thing or don't target it, but like target it and fight it that way. It's all about that sticky targeting. That said, there is some trouble with the combat. It's not perfect. I've gotten weird camera angle stuff. Did you get
cameras a big issue? I think in the patch that they've made it so you can tweak the sensitivity a little bit.
Oh good, yes,
so it can move a little quicker, but yes, it's very slow on default.
Yeah,
and it is very hard to like pan, especially if you are using the bow, which I did use a lot.
Same.
It is kind of hard to go in between targets and really be precise with it because the camera's all over the place. A little something really quick, the way you attack, you have a light attack, heavy bow. You can hold down the strong, heavy attack for a bigger effect, area of effect kind of thing.
Yep.
You can jump and slam, which is an unlockable upgrade. And then you can use the rot in both arrow form, hammer form, and
bombs.
With the bombs. Yes. Yeah. Which everything was tied to hold L2 down or mm-hmm. R2 down. Little, sometimes it didn't work. It wasn't quick enough.
Same.
So that was a bit of a bummer that I did die a couple of times because of that.
Yeah, especially with the bomb portion, which yes. I loved, by the way. But oh, like,
it's fantastic.
I feel like the combat would have helped that if I was switching to a bomb or switching to my arrow. Could I just get a little bit, and they do this with the, with if you hit L3 while you're aiming with the bow, but like always, just give me a half second where time is slowed to get me situated a little bit better. I feel like that would have fixed some things, but I'm not a game dev, so I could be full of shit.
I also use that slowdown time for platforming. It helped me a little bit.
Oh, really?
When you are jumping and you feel like you're a little short, you
hold
down the aim and you slow motion. It actually gives you a little bit more reach of mm-hmm. where you're landing, and you can like float a little bit. So I took advantage of that. But enemies have weak points. So obviously, if you want to get through the battles quickly, you got to aim for those. So some of the bigger guys have like these yellow crystals growing out of them. They're all, which I also really love, they are all wood and earth based. Like they are basically taking the disease and taking parts of nature and turning into grotesque monsters, which I love.
I love the rock monsters, because you're throwing the bombs and you're chipping away at them and you're seeing the rock explode. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. It was so cool. Yeah. Cameras was a big issue. Going back to that, the Toshi boss fight where you said you have to learn everything and make sure you use everything. I ended up just doing the dash strike.
Mm-hmm.
And then while he is stunned, I hit a couple, and then I jump, slow down, throw a rotten fuse bomb.
Ooh.
Put him in a time bubble, slash him up, dash strike, bomb, rinse and repeat. And it was very quick after that. So I didn't have to use a whole lot.
Wow. Okay.
But like no time. Once I found that kind of rhythm.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is easy. No shot. You got no shot here, Toshi.
I felt like his first boss fight is difficult. His second boss. Now Jiminy's getting rowdy. He's getting rowdy. Son of a gun.
Oh, yeah.
You hear him? You hear him? That son of a bitch. But his second form is a bit tougher. And that's where they're just like, this is a Legend of Zelda game now. This is literally Ocarina of Time Ganondorf fight. Let's fucking go. Big monster. Let's fight. You go for it.
Oh, my God. My hands hurt so bad, Joe.
Really?
It was because of, I had to make sure I had enough health, because what happens is, there's like four phases or whatever you have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
You die in any of those phases, you have to restart. And health doesn't pop up until like the third phase, mm-hmm. third or fourth phase, whatever it is.
And even so then, like, it's sparse.
It's only two, I think, potions, which you use to rot, and they can basically get like life force from mm-hmm. the earth and channel into you.
I have a problem with that.
That boss fight, it hurt my hands. It took me, I think, 2 hours to do, because I kept dying, because I kept getting hit by, again, this is a camera issue, where enemies were behind me, and I had two of the ground guys. I had the gigantic rot god that was trying to kill me.
Yeah.
And then the stupid flying moths. I hated them so
much. They were easy for me. So, okay. For me here, so the combat itself, we have a bit of a problem with the camera. It's not a, we don't hate it. We don't love it. The one thing I think it was not conveyed well enough is, you might want to mute your mic for a second there, Kyle, is the way you use rot and the way you use them in battle isn't really described the best, because there is a difficulty spike. Some of these bosses are complete bullshit. Like the first boss in it is, to me, complete. I don't like him at all, because he's not, no other enemy that you fought has his moveset. And I feel like in a video game with a boss fight, there should be something that is familiar that you've learned along the way. And I feel like with this boss fight, there really wasn't anything you learned along the way. It was just like, shoot this lantern on his neck and pray to God that he doesn't snatch you up, which is the other problem I actually have, which I think is a big issue here, is enemy tells are not great. And I dare say even on boss fights are not good. Because, for example, with the big giant werewolf boss that you're fighting in the beginning, his tell is that when he reaches all the way back, he'll strike you. But because he's so big, you don't see where he winds up to strike you. Or when he lunges to attack, he doesn't give you enough time or like a wink and a nod to tell you, I'm about to strike you. And that to me wasn't great because, you know, hearkening back to the boss fights that I love so much, like a From Software game, they have those tells that you're like, okay, right here. And if you timed it wrong, it was on you. But I felt like here, because the tells weren't great, I couldn't parry effectively. And maybe that's just because I suck at timing and rhythm, but that's, I don't know. Do you have any compelling thoughts there?
I mean, I kind of agree with you there, but I personally found a rhythm of once I got a successful parry, it was much easier to do it.
Okay.
So it varied from time to time, but a lot of time, honestly, I forgot that a parry was even a thing because I was so stressed about evading these area of effect things. Like we go back to Adira, the woodsman boss, where at some point she starts throwing flame bombs, right? Yeah. Like little pieces of ember, and they're dropping all over the place and causing ripple effects that will hurt you. And they're not in a precise location. Some of them overlap. Mm-hmm. So like if you are mistiming a jump, you can land safely inside of one as another ring hits you. So it is the parry system and just having everything not be from a platformer, you expect it to be the same thing every time, pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was kind of hard to time things and predict what's going to happen and come up with a strategy because it was always changing. So in some ways that's good. Keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just got like frustrated.
Yeah. The one thing that I learned with the combat, what I liked, because I did learn it along the way, is like, oh, they'll give you these small enemies, and that's how when you attack successful attacks, successful parries, you gain rod abilities. You gain those glowing orbs.
Which is awesome. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Because you can only use the rot if you defeat enemies and attack enemies and show your rot friends, your rot little cute buddies, that to be brave and to have courage and to join the fight. So the little yellow things you collect is called courage in game. And that in order to have enough courage, that's when the rot can help you out, which I thought was really, really cool.
Yeah. I love that. Cause it's a symbolic of, oh, it got defeated. And so it lost all of its kind of courage. So the one thing that I loved was just like, oh, defeat the little guys, work around the big boss. When you have enough energy, that's when you attack. That's when you throw the kitchen sink at the boss or that hard enemy. That's where I really liked the combat. But it is not perfect. But again, it's still good. It's still not serviceable. It's good. I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just that last battle where you are, after you beat Toshi, and then it's the rot god, and there's like five waves, and if you die in a later wave, you have to do it all over again. Little bit of a bummer. I did notice the last time I didn't have to use it, because I ended up defeating him. I saved in like the third phase, because there were no enemies.
Fair.
So I could just load from that save, which is very nice. You could save no matter what.
Oh yeah,
wherever you are, which is fantastic.
I use that to my advantage. Wing,
yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I'm very upset. spoiler alert: the trophy, you have to beat it on master difficulty for the platinum.
Fucking tough. I wouldn't recommend going for it. Off the bat, the combat's challenging enough on normal. I don't like when trophies are gated behind the difficulty setting because that is not how the developer has intended for you to play. That's the reason why it's on default or normal. That is where they spent the most time balancing the game, is on that setting. So to me, I don't like that achievement being locked behind, or sorry, trophy.
Joe.
I played Halo Infinite beta and this is what it's done to me. But yeah, like I don't like when trophies are gated behind that. It's just not a fan.
I mean, yeah, I'm not either, but I am going to at least attempt it because I do love the game.
Fair.
I am running through and doing all the collectibles and stuff. I don't really have nine more rot to find and
nice. a couple. Are you using a guide or are you?
I 100% am using a guide because of
same.
It goes back to the thing again, a little quality of life thing that I would have loved, and along with the waypoints, is they have broad, like, here's how many rot are in this area, but I wish it was broken down even more.
Gotcha.
Or like when you do the pulse, things ping.
Yes, like a Batman Arkham style.
Yes, because a lot of the tales that things are interactable are, you don't notice until you're right up on it.
Right.
Or or you do, I think I mentioned on the main show, where if you see like purple flowers, you know that there's a secret or something nearby, so you can follow them to find it. And it is good to know that once you do collect a rot, it leaves behind purple mushrooms. So as a trophy hunter, you go back, you're like, oh, I already had that one because the mushrooms are there, which I do appreciate.
Yeah.
But the whole, like, with the master difficulty thing, there is no new game plus. So you lose everything. You have to go through. I probably have to do a couple of the side collectible things to get enough karma, I believe it is, to upgrade your abilities to be able to use these rot infused attacks, which I don't think you could beat the game without. So it is a bit of a bummer, but I'm going to at least attempt it. There was a glitch in the system, I guess, where you could reload after you beat it into the last meditation point after you choose new game and select mastermind difficulty or whatever it is. And then it'll
mastermind difficulty. I love it.
Whatever it is. Yeah, I was like hours late after the patch, and now it did not pop for me. So
see, well, Kyle, you know, early bird gets the worm. That's what I did. I was so happy because my thing was like, okay, the Halo Infinite beta or whatever flight is coming out. I will play this game. I will beat it before it goes live, right? And I beat it like a couple minutes late. And I was like, okay, let's do this right now because this is my only chance. It popped. And I was like, yes, yeah, dilly dilly. Because I'm not doing that. And to me, what I would have done, Kyle, is I would have then went to one of those Christian games that teaches you the Bible for $1.
I already did on Sunday. Yeah, I already got it.
There you go. And that's my honorary trophy.
Sure.
So like kind of like Deathloop. I'm like, I'm going to see if I can't get this one because this one seems really fucking difficult. But if I can, I can. Or if I can't, then I'll go learn about Jesus Christ while getting an easy plat.
Side note, my Deathloop finally came in.
Oh, look at that steelbook.
So, yeah, it's. Oh, I ended up ordering it from Best Buy. It's got Juliana.
Nice.
I haven't played it yet, but Road to Greatness is coming soon for that. I
am so excited for you. I'm hyped just thinking about Jesus.
One more thing about Kena that I do want to talk about, going again with the camera thing.
Yes.
My least favorite collectible side thing to do is creating the rot water.
Yes, that puzzle sucks. And
basically how it works, your rot turns into this big water blob of essentially the rot god.
Yeah.
And you can like water the crops and make plants pop up to find rot and cool things. But it's also used to clear corruption and has like some attack moves. But the way you control it is Kana's on the left stick, the rot water god thing is on the right stick. And you have to control both independently, but the rot water thing moves faster than Kana does.
Yeah.
And also got very framey and stuttery.
Same.
When it would come close to you in the front of the camera kind of thing. Was not fun. Very frustrating.
Only puzzle I don't like. Yes. Every single one of them I do like except for that one. Agreed. And it's not like I absolutely loathed it, but it did get annoying here or there. Mm-hmm. Hey, Kyle, before we move away from combat, what was your favorite ability? Was it the bow and arrow?
You mean like the rot-infused bow and arrow or just bow and
period? Just bow, whatever.
No, rot hammer all day.
Isn't it cool?
So like I'm very much a... I'm not as patient as you are because you have beaten Bloodborne and all these Souls games. So I want to get up and close and whack away as much as possible. So earlier when I said that I forgot to parry a whole bunch of times, that's because I would wait right before they would attack and do the rot hammer. So it interrupts their attack and also deals a ton of damage.
Yeah.
So that's how I would go about the bigger enemies.
Yeah.
But yeah, the rot hammer for... Sure.
I love the bow. It's just bow's how really I cool. Yeah.
And if Horizon Forbidden West is even as close to the Kena haptics, ooh, I'm gonna be real happy.
Thank you, Ember Lab. Y'all were like, we know we're a small studio. We got probably a lot of money from Sony and Epic. Let's put some money into this haptic thing because we think it's cool. It's subtle, but it's nice. And hearing the little
you pull, hear the drawstring pull back every single time. Oh,
chef's kiss, chef's kiss. Yes, the pulse from the shield. I love it all. Haptics, fantastic. Adaptive triggers, fantastic.
10 really, out of 10. Really, really good. Yeah, I don't think there's anything more we can really touch on this game.
One more thing. What area was your favorite?
Oh, which area? Oh, good call.
Thank you.
I kind of like the forest, the opening one.
Oh, really? I actually liked the second area.
The fields?
Yeah, I love the fields.
Fields are cool. Yeah, it's a little bit more open. Getting lost in the trees and stuff was very calming to me.
Okay.
So the forest holds a special place.
Yeah, I like the fields because I feel like that's where all your abilities really open up. And, like, there is difficulty spike. This game's deceivingly difficult because you're like, oh, this is nice, this is cute, this is whimsical. And then it's like, but it's challenging. So, like, that's where you have most of your abilities kind of lined up. And it feels nice because I feel like you're utilizing what this game is to its fullest.
Yeah. Agreed.
And then when you get your dash abilities, fucking awesome.
Dash is cool. Again, a little weird with the button placement, L1 and R1 to dash. A little odd.
I mess up on that a couple of times.
Yeah. The field, I do have to give a little shout out to the field because I thought the rot were the most cute thing in the world. And then I met Adira's ox.
Oh, you like the ox?
Oh, man, the ox is cool.
Yeah.
So yeah. The ox is mechanical, it's made out of stone and the blue energy with the gems and whatnot. And once you free it from corruption, he's just like a big baby. And he's adorable. So, nice. Like, shout out to that ox and in the Adira section for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that's been Kena. I got the plaque. Kyle didn't.
Not yet. Hopefully. if we were to rate this on a trophy scale, bronze to platinum, what would you rate Kena Bridge of Spirits?
I said that I really like this game on our regular show, but I don't know if it was game of the year conversation. I beat the game. It's on my game of the year conversation. I loved it. I don't think it's going to beat like a Deathloop or Returnal or any of that, but I feel like it belongs up there. I feel like it deserves to be on that conversation because it is a brilliant little game that, isn't revolutionizing anything, but is taking its inspiration, wearing it's on its sleeve and not using it as cliches. And when I take a look at this is their first game, it's like, what is this studio capable of? Almost anything, I think. So, I loved it. Platinum. Go out there. If you have a PS5, it's worth it. Go for it. Buy this game.
Absolutely. I don't think I can go all the way platinum. The more the more time I am away from the ending of the game.
Sure.
It just, again, the story wasn't super memorable to me. So all I'm taking that down a little bit of a peg. It's 100% a gold on the precipice of being a platinum. Okay. You absolutely should buy this and play this on PS5.
Yeah.
I'm sure the PS4 game looks equally as gorgeous.
Yeah, I know Digital Foundry has a thing.
Oh, they do.
I have not checked because I'm like, I have the PS5 version. Why do I give a shit?
Exactly. it's well worth your time and investment in buying it $40, it's well worth it. And like Joe said, for Ember Lab first game ever, I am so excited for the future of them as game makers.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for a Kena 2 or if PlayStation's like, hey, we have this, raccoon that's a thief.
Oh, you want to do Sly
so Cooper? Like could you imagine?
Oh fuck, that would be actually cool. Now that you say it, now I want it. Now I
exactly,
want it
exactly, man. Yeah. It'd be incredible. But
Hey Kyle, before we go, I do want to mention and thank our patrons over at patreon.com. as y'all know, my audio interface died, and you may go, what's an audio interface? It makes my mic go boom. It makes it go. It makes it work. And I wanted to get a a new one, obviously, but a little bit of a better one, an upgrade. Because if y'all don't know, I had COVID-19. That's why you should get vaxxed and masked up, because I've had it. I almost went to the hospital. It wasn't fun. I could have died. No joke. There's not a punchline here. And because of that, I now am very phlegmy. And so midway through the show, sometimes I have to cough and I have to like do a thing. Like I had to like do a couple of steps just to cough. And sometimes you hear it on the podcast, my mic will go boom. And it's weird. I don't like it. With this audio interface, I could just literally press a mute button, like, and you won't be able to hear me. So I could just do little coughs. Or Kyle, you'll be able to hear this. You'll be able to hear this, Kyle. Yeah. I could you know how Earthy Cheese's mom doesn't like when we cuss?
Yes.
Well, I have a bleep button, so I could literally go. Did? Yeah, I could go, hey, Kyle, go.
And people think. Oh my God, I love that.
It'll go beep.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
So, I would misuse that and just bleep out normal words.
Yeah. So like Kyle, I think. And so that's what I think of you. Great.
Oh, that's so good.
I hope it doesn't work. I hope everybody just hears my compliments.
I mean, I read your lips, so I know what you said. So it's totally fine. can't get one past me.
Yeah.
So thank you for the patrons for allowing Joe to sound so great and to now have a new toy at his disposal for our shows.
It's going to be great. It's going to interfere with so much.
It's so much. I can't wait for a guest to come on and you forget to tell them about the bleep. And then it happens. And like, what the hell? patrons, thank you so much for supporting us. And you make this show possible. So shout out to you as always. The next Road to Greatness, the destination on the Road to Greatness, will be Deathloop at some point when I
in end October, up beating it.
So look out for that.
Ooh.
And until then, buckle up. And we'll catch you in the next one. Bye.